Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic.
Odin has you all.
Be gone, I tell you. I give no man drink from my well.
No man am I, O Mimir, but Odin, father of Isis and men.
Kill me now, therefore, for thou hast triumphed.
Greetings, junior scholars. I am Sir Bradley Hassey, guardian of the written word and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the classics and inspire children to a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in literature and history. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners who tune in each and every episode, especially my Patreon supporters who help keep the show going and growing. If you like what we are doing, creating stories for the good of your kids, consider supporting me on Patreon for $5 a month. The best way to help the show, however, is to tell a friend and ask them to listen. If you want to reach me, send me a letter to P.O. Box 1153, Crown Point, Indiana, 46308. Any listener who sends in an art project based on a story will in return receive some Junior Classic bookmarks. Today, we continue our Northern saga with the myth how All-Father Odin became wise. But before we get to the story,
lost and found words!
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try and spot them during the story. Our first word today is Asas. This is the name of the tribe of gods that live in Asgard. You're going to hear this a lot. Asa or Asas. And the A is pronounced as in the word hate. Asas. Now, there are different versions of these tales, so they are also called the Æsir, if you see that in another Norse mythology story. Our second word today is mead. Mead is wine made from honey and water. Mead is a favorite drink of the Æsir. In a few episodes, we'll hear how Odin brings the magic mead to Asgard. Our next word is genial with a G. Genial means friendly and playful. The halls of Valhalla echo with the genial uproar of the warrior's feast. And our next word is minstrel with an M. A minstrel is a singer or musician, especially one who sang or recited heroic poetry with music for the nobility. Odin disguises himself, as he often does, as a minstrel or a musician in our story. And lastly, we have the word pyre with a P, pyre. A pyre is a pile of combustible material like wood or straw, something that burns, especially a pile for burning a corpse as part of a funeral ceremony. Odin has a vision of the future and asks about a loved one whom he sees on a funeral pyre. That's all for today's Lost and Found Words. Now on to the show. Odin is the ruler of the Æsir, or Æsa, the tribe of gods that lives in Asgard. Odin is known by many names, the All-Father, the Terrible One, Odin the Wise, and many more. In fact, hundreds more. Over 170 names are recorded for the god Odin. We will discover why Odin is called One-Eyed today. The fourth day of the week, we call Wednesday, comes from the Old English Wodnisday, meaning Woden's Day or Odin's Day. Before Odin became the god of Norse mythology and was bestowed with supernatural powers, was there really a man behind the myths and legends? And if so, where did he come from? Archaeologist and historian Thor Heyerdahl, a Norwegian adventurer born in 1914, spent a considerable amount of his career in the search for a historical Odin. Heyerdahl argued that there is evidence that there was a large ancient migration or movement of peoples into Scandinavia from the region known as the Caucasus. On a map, the Caucasus are dominated by the Caucasus Mountains, located between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea, mainly made up of the modern-day countries of Armenia, Azerbaijan, Georgia, and southern Russia. Heyerdahl speculates that Odin, commonly thought of today as a mythical Norse god, was a historical person who founded the Norwegian and Swedish royal dynasty. Heyerdahl studied rock carvings with sickle-shaped boats in Azerbaijan in the Caucasus that were very similar to rock carvings found in his own native Norway. Determined to prove that ancient men could cross the ocean in reed boats, Heyerdahl sailed a reed boat 3,270 sea miles in 57 days in 1970. Years later, he discovered connections between Scandinavia and the Caucasus, noting that Norwegian mythology tells that the Nordic god Odin moved with his people to Norway from a land called Asser, whose description matches the ancient Scythian region east of the Caucasus Mountains and the Black Sea. Is this story mythology, or could it be based, at least in part, on actual history? Scythian is one of the names of the Aryans who lived across the steppes, the name of a large area of flat, unforested grasslands that stretches from Mongolia and Russia all the way to Eastern Europe. A large part of European history involves migrations from East or Central Asia, such as the Celts, which according to Irish history, descend from the Scythians, who claim to descend from Magog, who was the son of Japheth, a son of Noah, whose ark settled on the mountains of Ararat located in the Caucasus. Heyerdahl's final excavations in the search for Odin were inspired by legends from Iceland, written in the 13th century AD, but the original stories are thought to be even older. In the beginning of the poems, Asgarth is the capital of Asaland, a section of Asia near the Black Sea. Odin is the chief of Asgard. From there, he conducts military expeditions to all parts of the world, never losing a battle. Eventually, he leads a group of the Æsir to the north, looking for new lands on which to settle up the Don River to Saxland, or Germany, and then to Scandinavia. Large portions of the saga are clearly mythical, as Odin is a sorcerer, speaks only in verse, has a ship that can be rolled up like a tablecloth when not used, and relies on two talking ravens to gather intelligence. I will finish our lengthy introduction with an entry I was shown from the Encyclopedia Britannica from around 1875 under Asgard, which if you remember is the home of the Norse gods where Odin rules. This is the description for Asgard. The historical explanation for Asgard, as given by the early northern authorities, is that in the country called Asaheim, to the east of the Don in Asia, there was a city Asgard, in which ruled a great chief known as Odin or Woden, who presided over the religious sacrifices which were held there. At that time, the Roman generals were marching over the world and reducing nations to subjection. And Odin, foreknowing that he and his posterity would occupy the northern lands, and unwilling to encounter the Romans, left Asaheim with vast multitudes of followers, and wandered first westward to Russia, and afterwards to Saxland, or Germany. After some time, he proceeded northward, till at length he came to the Mälar Lake in Sweden, where he settled at a place known as Sigtuna, the present Uppsala. His 12 chief priests, in the course of time, founded states for themselves, and everywhere set up laws and usages which they had followed in Asaheim. Here we have an historical link with the mythic story of Odin's halls in Asgard and his 12 attendant Æsir. End of entry. And so, without further ado, these are the tales which the Northmen tell concerning the wisdom of All-Father Odin. How All-Father Odin Became Wise. On the highest hill of Asgard, upon a great chair, sat All-Father Odin, watching from thence all that was happening on and above and under the earth. The father of Asas and of men had long gray locks and thick curling beard, and he wore a great blue coat flecked with gray like unto the sky when the fleecy clouds scud across it. In his hand he carried a spear, so sacred that if anyone swore an oath upon its point, that oath could never be broken. On his head, he wore when sitting upon his watchtower throne a helmet shaped like an eagle. But when he wandered, as he loved to do, about the earth, he wore a large broad-brimmed hat drawn low over his forehead. Perched on his broad shoulders sat two inky black ravens, Hugin and Munin, whom every morning he sent to wing their flight about the world, that they might see what was going on. Every evening when they returned, they whispered all that they had seen and heard in his ears. At Odin's feet crouched two great wolves, whom he fed from the meat set before him. For he himself cared not to eat flesh food, and he preferred rather to drink the sacred mead provided by the goat who fed upon the leaves of the tree of life. Sometimes Odin left his watchtower throne for the great council hall, where the 12 Asas sat and took counsel together. But his favorite seat of all was in his own palace of Valhalla, or the Hall of the Chosen Slain. This palace stood in the midst of a wonderful grove of trees, whose leaves were all of red gold, rustling and shimmering in the breeze. 45 doors opened into it, each wide enough to allow 800 warriors to enter abreast. And over the chief entrance was a boar's head and a great eagle, whose keen gaze looked forth over all the world. The walls of the palace were built of spears of polished steel, so bright that they lighted the whole building, and the roof was made of golden shields. And wondrous gleamed Valhalla on the heights. Her walls shone bright as rows of glittering spears. The roof resplendent like great golden shields. Hundreds of open gates and welcoming doors. For myriad warriors from the fields of earth, the chosen heroes of the future years, to be great Odin's mighty bodyguard against the awful prophecies of doom. From end to end of the great hall stood long tables and benches loaded with armor, ready prepared for the fortunate guests. And this was the manner of their selection. Whenever a great battle was about to be fought on the earth, Odin sent forth the 9 Valkyrs, or battle maidens, his especial attendants, to watch the progress of the fight and to choose from the fallen warriors half of their number. These the battle maidens carried on their swift steeds over the Rainbow Bridge into the Great Hall of Valhalla, where they were welcomed by the sons of Odin and taken to the All-Father's throne to receive his greeting. But if one had shown himself especially heroic in the fight, Odin would descend from his throne and advance to the door to bid him welcome. And now seated at the long tables, loaded with great beakers of mead and dishes of boar flesh, the warriors feasted merrily, tended by the fair battle maidens. The blazing roof resounds, the genial uproar of those shades who fall, in desperate fight or by some brave attempt. When they had eaten all they could, the warriors would call for their weapons, ride out into the great courtyard, and there wage desperate fights, in the course of which many a man would be sorely wounded. But this mattered little, for at the sound of the dinner horn, all wounds were healed. And all day long, they there are hacked and hewn, mid dust and groans and limbs lopped off and blood. But all at night return to Odin's hall, woundless and fresh, such lot is theirs in heaven. These warriors were Odin's special joy and delight, and he was never weary of watching them at feast or in the combat. Sometimes, indeed, when some battle on earth was impending, he would appear, riding upon his 8-footed gray horse, and with white shield and arm, would fling his glittering spear into the ranks of the warriors as signal for the fight to begin, and would rush into the fray with his war cry,
"Odin has you all."
Now, though all this shows very clearly that Allfather Odin was a warlock Asa and delighted in battles, there was another side to his character. For beyond all the other Asas, he cared for wisdom. Very early in the morn of time, Allfather Odin discovered that beneath the roots of the Tree of Life, just where sky and ocean met, there was a marvelous spring of water.
The fountain of all wit and wisdom.
Looking into its crystal depths, all that was going to happen in the future was revealed. And anyone drinking of it received the gifts of wisdom, knowledge, and right judgment about all things. Now this spring was guarded by the giant Mimir, who prided himself upon being wiser than any other giants or Asas, for he alone had the right to draw water from the well. And every morning, dipping his glittering horn therein, he drank a long draft. And with every draft, he grew wiser, till he knew everything that was past and present and is to come. When Odin became aware of the marvelous properties of the spring, he was eager to drink of it.
"Or it is not fitting that a giant should know more than the father of ices and men."
So early one morn, he entered a dark grove of trees, where amidst the great arching roots, fantastically intertwined, bubbled the spring. And keeping watch beside it, sat giant Mimir, his long gray beard sweeping over his knees, and his great piercing eyes shining with fierce light as the newcomer approached.
"What do you want here?"
he demanded, in a voice that sounded like the muttering of thunder before a storm.
"I want to drink of yon water from your glittering horn, good Mimir."
But giant Mimir sunk his great head upon his chest, and looking from under his shaggy eyebrows, growled again.
"Begone, I tell you. I give no man drink from my well."
Then Odin drew himself up to his full height, and in a voice that was more thunderous than that of the giant himself, cried,
"No man am I, O Mimir, but Odin, father of ices and men. Refuse not to me the gift of wisdom. Though I can see all things that happen in heaven and earth, I cannot see what lies beneath the deep, nor can I see what shall happen in the future. Give me, therefore, the draft of wisdom, and I will pay you whatsoever you demand."
But Mimir still refused.
"We giants are of an elder race than ye Asas be, and all the wisdom in the world is in our hands. If I give you to drink of this water, you will become wise even as we are, and an enemy more dangerous than ever."
"Nevertheless, you must give me the water, and I will pay you whatsoever you may ask."
Then Mimir, feeling sure that such a payment would be refused, said,
"I will give you the magic draft in return for one of your eyes."
But to his amazement, for the god was very proud of his keen vision, Odin at once plucked forth an eye and handed it to him.
"No price is too high to pay for wisdom."
So Mimir was obliged to hand him the horn filled with precious water, and Odin drank a full draft, caring not at all that henceforth he was to have but one eye, for he knew that he had gained the precious gift of wisdom beyond any in the world save Mimir himself. Meantime, Mimir dropped the eye of the Æsir into the well, where it shines bright as the moon reflected in still waters, and he bade Odin depart, saying heavily,
"This day is the beginning of trouble betwixt your race and mine."
Determined to put his newfound wisdom to the test, Allfather Odin now disguised himself as a wandering minstrel and went to visit the most learned of all giants save Mimir, who of course knew everything in the whole world. And the most learned giant received him graciously and consented readily to enter into a contest of wit. And it was agreed that the loser should forfeit his head. The most learned giant was the first to begin. He questioned Odin as to the size and color of the horses which bore the chariots of night and day across the sky. He asked him the source of the river which separated the land of giants from Asgard. And finally, he demanded details about the last battle that was to be fought between Æsir and giants in the far distant days. All these questions were fully and promptly answered by Odin, and it was now his turn. He questioned his rival first as to the beginning of all things. Then he asked what the heroes did in Valhalla, and what was the work of the weird sisters, who would carry on the work of the gods when they had passed away. And all of these were fully answered by the most learned giant. Then Odin bent down to the giant's ear, as he sat on his great seat, and said softly,
"Tell me lastly, I pray you, what are the words the Allfather will whisper to his son Balder as he lies dead upon his funeral pyre?"
At this, the most learned giant uprose, and looking hard into the sad and troubled face of his questioner, said,
"No one but Odin himself can answer that question. And no one but Odin would have asked it, for only he who has drunk of the water of wisdom would foresee the death and the far-off future of his dearest son. Kill me now, therefore, for thou hast triumphed."
Here the tale comes to an end, but we should like to think that Odin spared the life of the most learned giant. And perhaps he would have done so the more readily, because his heart was softened by the knowledge, born of his newfound wisdom, that Balder, his beautiful son, must die. The end. So that was our introduction to Odin, and how he exchanged one of his eyes to drink from the marvelous spring of water and become wise. But the wisdom and knowledge of the future gave Odin a haunting vision. He foresaw the death of his son Balder. Towards the end of the series, we will hear the full story of Balder and his tragic fate. Next time, we hear the story of how Frigga, the wife of Odin and Queen of the Sky, gave gifts to men. Until then, I am Sir Bradley Hesse. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth.
Now for you parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history, and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Junior Classics.
And now, a Nordic piece from our friends at Fantasy and World Music.